What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, what did I tell you? This series was going the whole seven, and we are getting us a game seven between the Oklahoma City Thunder and the San Antonio Spurs. Gotta say, though, this series has not been as good as I thought it would be because it kind of feels like every single whoever wins the game, they end up running away with the game. They're not really close games. So it's been meh, but still, we are here at a game seven, so that's coming up on Saturday. But let's talk about how we got there. Beginning with game five, Oklahoma City dominated this one 127-114. SGA had 32 points, 9 assists. Caruso, he was huge in this one, had 22 points, 6 assists. Kind of feels like any game that the Oklahoma City Thunder end up winning, Caruso has a big part of it. I mean, I know they've got they've got so much depth with a lot of guys who could take over the game at any point in time, but Caruso, he is just that dude. I already said I miss him from when he played with the Lakers. I hated that we let him go. I mean, I understand why we did because, I mean, money and all that crap. But still, he is such a Swiss knife, Swiss Army knife type of player where he could just do it all, and that's what he was doing in this game. Chet Holmgren had 16 points and 11 rebounds, and Hartenstein had 12 points and 15 rebounds. Then in game six, San Antonio completely dominated that one, 118-91. Victor Wembanyama, because in game five, Victor Wembanyama kind of faded away in that one, whereas in game six, he was back to his old monster self, 28 points, 10 rebounds, really just dominated this game from start to finish. Harper, 18 points, and Stephon Castle, 17 points, 9 assists, 5 rebounds. I have been so impressed with Stephon Castle since the Spurs drafted him. Like I said, I'm a Lakers fan, but since I live here in Austin and I love Tim Duncan, the Spurs are basically a secondary team for me, and I just always watch them even when they've sucked over the last like 5 years in between Tim Duncan and Victor Wembanyama years. I watched all those years too, but Stephon Castle is such a talented player, and I don't think a lot of people knew how good he was until this playoff run that the Spurs have had. And he has been, he's just as huge as Caruso's been for the Thunder, where it feels like when the Spurs get a big win, Castle is huge in it. I mean, I know all the attention's on Victor Wembanyama because he's the dude, but Castle is something else. I really like what I see from Stephon Castle. I really like watching his game progress. And it's going to be interesting if the Spurs make it to the NBA Finals because obviously the New York Knicks are sitting pretty because they just, I didn't even want to talk about that series because game four between the Knicks and the Cavaliers was pathetic. Like I said, it was really funny too because I said before that game, this Cavaliers team is Donovan Mitchell and everybody else, and it was so sad to watch Donovan Mitchell be the only player on the floor who gave a shit in game four, literally trying to rally his dudes, yelling at everybody like, can we just get something going, and they weren't able to do that. The New York Knicks are just sitting pretty right now, waiting for whoever wins this Oklahoma City Thunder-San Antonio Spurs matchup, but we'll see what happens, but the Knicks completely have been dominating this playoff run, and going to be interesting to see what happens here, because my thing with the Knicks and them going up against either one of these Western Conference teams is I don't know if they're going to have an answer for the middle, the centers, because the Spurs obviously have Victor Wembanyama. I don't know if they're going to have an answer for him. And then the Oklahoma City Thunder have Chet Holmgren and Hartenstein. I don't know if they're going to have an answer for those two. So we'll see what happens. Obviously, I'm going to break that down once we get to the NBA Finals, of course. But that's just the way I look at it right now is, are they going to have an answer for whoever comes at them from the Western Conference? Because they've got bigs in the middle, and that's not really the Knicks' forte. But I ain't overlooking the Knicks either. The Knicks have a really good team, and I expect them to come hard once the finals start. But game seven of the Western Conference Finals is on Saturday night, and we'll see who ends up going to go up against the New York Knicks in the NBA Finals. Let's move on to baseball and the week of baseball. Man, we have had some dominating teams, dominating performances. So let's just get right into it. There's a rookie that is just having a phenomenal season, and it's continuing. So let's start off with Monday and the Milwaukee Brewers getting a win over the St. Louis Cardinals 5-1. Mizorowski, this guy is a killer behind the plate. 7 innings pitched, 12 strikeouts, and he had 57 pitches in this game that went over 100 miles per hour or 100 miles per hour. Like, what the fuck? This guy wheels and deals. Now, the only problem I have with dudes who throw that hard, there's probably a chance this dude's going to have Tommy John surgery once or twice along the way. So get ready for that, Milwaukee, or whoever ends up trading for him at some point. I don't really see Milwaukee getting rid of him, but you also never know what's going to happen down the line. But even so, Mizorowski is just having a crazy year. I think he still leads the league in strikeouts. I know he got the 12 strikeouts on Monday. He led the league in strikeouts, but he's pretty much been leading the league in strikeouts all season long. He's just been killing it. Christian Yelich also had a home run in this one. And then Vaughn went 3-for-4 with an RBI, and the Milwaukee Brewers are just rolling over the St. Louis Cardinals, who have had a pretty solid season as well. And also on Monday, the New York Yankees had a crazy game against the Kansas City Royals. They got the win 4-3, and it was a back and forth affair. But Anthony Volpe, who's kind of, you know, he started off the season injured. They were going to bring him up, but then they kept him, they sent him down to AAA just because Cabrera has been having such a phenomenal year. But then they brought him up because Cabrera got injured, and now he's been on the roster, and he's had quite the week for sure. He had a game-winning single in this one to drive in the two runs to get the win for the Yankees. And then another fantastic starting pitching performance from Will Warren in this one, who went 6 innings with 3 strikeouts and a really solid win from the New York Yankees in that one. But another team on Monday night who is just getting the wins, and I can't believe it, is the Washington Nationals, kicked the shit out of the Cleveland Guardians 10-2. They had 6 home runs in this game. 6. Littell, 7 innings pitch, 7 strikeouts. This Washington Nationals team, probably one of the most surprising teams in the league at this point. There are a couple surprising teams, I would say, but the Nationals, I didn't expect anything from them, and I think it's just because I was very unfamiliar with the roster. I kind of felt like they do have some young talent, but I didn't think it was enough talent that was going to get them going. Plus, I felt like a lot of the journeyman type of player they have, like a Littell, I didn't think they were going to make a big impact, but so far they have been playing excellent baseball right now, and they got a good win over the Guardians, who have been streaking high right now. And then also on Monday, the Houston Astros, we haven't talked about them a lot this year because they're pretty much a terrible team, but they got a nice win over the Texas Rangers, 9-0. Actually had a combined no-hitter in this one with Imai starting off the game with 6 innings pitched and 2 strikeouts, and then Okert and Santa ended it, and nobody got a hit at all in this one. This is the 18th no-hitter in Houston Astros history, and really the only good thing that's happened to the Houston Astros this season, so good on ya. Then on Tuesday, the Texas Rangers got the Houston Astros back. In the first inning, the Texas Rangers had 8 runs. Yeah, they were like, you no-hit us last night, bitch. We gonna show you we can hit. And so they had 8 runs in the first inning and never looked back in this one. They got the win 10-7. Excuse me. Then also on Tuesday night, Washington Nationals got another big win over the Cleveland Guardians, 6-3. Savali went 6 innings pitched with 7 strikeouts, and that's really been crazy with the Nationals. Their starting pitching has been super reliable and just really getting the job done, really difficult to get runs on, and then they're just really getting a lot of strikeouts as well. And then you also have James Wood, who is just having a great year. He went 3-for-4, the home run, 2 RBI, and a stolen base in this one. And then also on Tuesday, the New York Yankees obliterated the Kansas City Royals 15-1. As a matter of fact, this is the only game this season by any team where every single starter had at least 2 hits in this game. Schlittler pitched another gem, 6 innings pitched with 6 strikeouts, and then Rosario went 4-for-6, 2 home runs, 4 RBI, and then Volpe had a home run in this one as well. So like I said, Volpe is starting to get hot. Who knows if he's going to, you know, keep the starting position, just because I think Cabrera is playing a little bit better than him, but you never know. You kind of can interchange both of them. But Volpe's been hot right now, so you got to keep the hot bat in there. And then the Pittsburgh Pirates got a win over the Chicago Cubs on Tuesday, 12-1. And that was actually 10 losses in a row for the Cubs. So they've had two 10-game winning streaks and now a 10-game losing streak. In this one, Ashcraft for the Pirates went 6.1 innings pitched with 5 strikeouts. Cruz went 3-for-3 in this one. Reynolds went 2-for-4 with 2 RBI and just a big win for the Pirates. Then on Wednesday, the Philadelphia Phillies got a win over the San Diego Padres 3-0. And I was talking about Christopher Sanchez and the year he has been having for the Phillies. He is the obvious ace for this team, which is just crazy because they have so many talented starting pitchers on this roster. But Sanchez is the dude. He went 7 innings pitched with 9 strikeouts. But the big deal is nobody has scored on him in 44 and two-thirds innings. And that is actually a Philadelphia Phillies record, which has been held for 115 years. So who would have thought Christopher Sanchez was going to be the one to break that record? And he did. And he has just been pitching out of his mind. And like I said, they got a nice win over the Padres 3-0. Then also on Wednesday, here's the rookie I was talking about. Murakami with the Chicago White Sox. The Chicago White Sox obliterated the Minnesota Twins 15-2. Murakami went 2-for-4 with a home run and an RBI and now has 20 home runs on the season. It is nuts to see what this dude is doing and really just providing a huge spark for the Chicago White Sox team because this is another team that I really didn't expect a lot from, and they're not like obviously a World Series bound team, but they look pretty good. They're actually pretty interesting. They're a team where you're like, oh, I actually kind of want to tune in for a game. I mean, they were a bottom-of-the-barrel team for the last couple of seasons, and now they actually are competing. And hell, who knows? Maybe they can pull one of those wild card slots out of their ass. But I don't know, man. Murakami has been money this year. Then on Wednesday, the New York Yankees obliterated the Royals yet again, 7-0. But this game was all about Gerrit Cole. It was his second game to pitch in the season. His first game was a success for him, but he didn't get the win because the Yankees blew it. This one, they not only got the win, but Cole went off. 6.2 innings pitched and 10 strikeouts. So he looked like the typical good old Gerrit Cole that the Yankees are used to in a solid win. Then also on Wednesday, the Dodgers got a win over the Colorado Rockies 4-1. Ohtani had another dominating game. In this one, he pitched and hit it as well. And 6 innings pitched, 7 strikeouts, and a home run to start the game. So, yeah, just another fantastic year for the stupid Dodgers and stupid Ohtani. And then Freddie Freeman, he's starting to get hot too. He had a home run in that game. So like I continue to say, don't worry about the motherfucking Dodgers. They are going to be there no matter what happens. They've got so many damn good players and it pisses me the fuck off. But what can you do? Then on Thursday, the Atlanta Braves got a win over the Boston Red Sox 10-2. And Ronald Acuna Jr., he is back. You know, I've been talking about, he's pretty much the only guy on the Braves roster this year that's been quiet. Well, he was not quiet in this one. He had a grand slam that went boom right over that green monster in this one. Ozzy Albies also been having a phenomenal year, went 3-for-5 with a home run and 2 RBI in this dominating win by the Atlanta Braves. And then the Chicago Cubs had a nice win over the Pittsburgh Pirates 7-2, finally breaking their, this is actually, they broke their 10-game losing streak on Wednesday, so this was a back-to-back win for them. But really why I'm talking about this game is Paul Skeens, another phenomenal game from him, 10 strikeouts, unfortunately a loss for him because Ian Happ went off in this one. As a matter of fact, Ian Happ's been having a phenomenal year himself. He went 3-for-5 with a home run and 2 RBI in a win that the Cubs really needed to get. But now they've got 2 wins in a row, so who knows? Maybe they'll win 10 more in a row. But that's the Cubs season in a nutshell right now. And also the Pirates, man. I mean, Skeens pretty much pitched a gem, and then it just kind of busted open, and then the Cubs just went off from there. But 10 strikeouts ain't nothing to scoff at. All right, so let's move on to the Trop 5 list this week. You know, I said the New York Knicks have been running through everybody this postseason. They're actually 12-2 on the postseason. They've only had 2 losses. So that's a pretty big deal. I mean, there's usually teams like that end up winning the championship. And so I decided today we're going to do the Trop 5 NBA playoff runs. And basically, these are teams that dominated just as hard as the Knicks have done, where they really only lost 1 or 2 games on their way to the NBA Finals. And, yeah, they all ended up winning the NBA Finals. Am I right? Yeah, all 5 of these teams have ended up winning the NBA Finals. So we'll see. The Knicks maybe, I mean, historically, if you take a look at this list, there's a good chance that the Knicks are going to win just the way they've dominated this postseason. So let's get right into it. Beginning with number five, the 1998-1999 San Antonio Spurs. This was their first championship year. This, to me, was Tim Duncan's, basically like his first year of letting the league know, I am here, get used to it, motherfuckers. I'm going to dominate for a really long time, and I'm going to win championships, and I'm going to turn this organization around. Yes, they had David Robinson, who was also another phenomenal player, but Tim Duncan was a whole other monster to me, in my opinion. And that's what this whole season was about. I mean, he won the MVP that year. I don't think he was defensive player of the year, but I know he made the all-defensive team, the all-first team and all of that jazz. But this San Antonio Spurs team was stacked, too. I mean, they had Steve Kerr. That was one of the additions they made that really made a huge difference for them, right alongside David Robinson and Tim Duncan. And this, like I said, this was the beginning of the Tim Duncan dominating the NBA. So they went 15-2 on their playoff run. They were the number one overall seed in this season, but I will note this was a lockout season. So their record is not as robust as the other four teams ahead of them on this list, but they did go 37-13, so they were the number one overall seed and absolutely dominated the regular season. So the first round, they went up against the Minnesota Timberwolves. They dominated that round 3-1. Then they went into the Western Conference semifinals up against the Los Angeles Lakers. And during this run, this 1999 to like 2007 run, for the Western Conference, it was basically Spurs, Lakers, Spurs, Lakers, Spurs, Lakers, Spurs, Lakers, Spurs, Lakers. That's basically what it was. Every Western Conference Finals, sometimes you would see the two of them against each other in the Western Conference Finals. But whoever was going to the NBA Finals, it was either the Spurs or the Lakers in that like 8-year span of the league. Even if they lost, because yes, they lost sometimes. Believe me, I remember 2004 when the fucking Lakers lost to the Detroit Pistons. I do remember that. But that's just what it was. That like 8 to 10 years, all Spurs, all Lakers. They went up against each other in the Western Conference semifinals in this one, and the Spurs swept them 4-0. And then the Spurs went to the Western Conference Finals up against the Portland Trailblazers, swept them. And then they went to the NBA Finals against the New York Knicks, got that win 4-1. So the Knicks were able to muster up one win in that one, and just an absolutely dominating run for the San Antonio Spurs. And like I said, it was the beginning of their dynasty. It was the beginning of all their championships, because they would end up with 5 championships when it was all said and done. And they just were one of the most dominating teams of that era, and it's no shock that they are on this list. Then at number 4 on my top 5 NBA playoff runs, the 1990-1991 Chicago Bulls. This is another one similar to those the Spurs I was just talking about. This is where it all started for Michael Jordan. This was where the dominance of Michael Jordan just became clear. Like I said, Jordan dominated the 90s. Nobody dominated the 90s like Jordan. And this is where we started in 1990 with the Chicago Bulls. They needed to turn everything around. I mean, it was Michael Jordan was absolutely dominating the league. He's scoring like 60 points in playoff games. He's just playing great, but nobody else around him is really stepping it up. And then finally, 1990-91 is when it all turned around. They went 15-2 on their playoff run. They were the number one overall seed. They went 61-21 in the regular season and just went on an insane, dominating run. This is the first of Michael Jordan's 6 NBA Finals wins, first of his NBA Finals MVPs, and it was an absolutely dominating season for the Chicago Bulls just overall. So in the first round, they went up against the New York Knicks, swept them 3-0. Then they went to the Eastern Conference semifinals up against the Philadelphia 76ers, got the win there 4-1. Then they went to the Eastern Conference semifinals against the dreaded Detroit Pistons. This Detroit Pistons team was the burr in Michael Jordan's ass. He could never beat this motherfucking team, and they swept their asses 4-0. So that's what I mean. That's when you turn shit around, when you do shit like that. And then you go to the NBA Finals against my Lakers, and they lose 4-1 in that one. And it was funny, too, because I was actually just talking about this game with my boss at work the other day. We were just talking about the playoffs, and we were talking about Michael Jordan. And I've never personally been a Michael Jordan fan. And this is why, because this is actually the first NBA Finals that I remember in my life, because I was actually in first grade. So that's kind of when you start getting forming all your memories and remembering stuff. Yeah, the first NBA Finals I remember is when my Lakers lost to stupid Michael Jordan. So that's why I'm not really a Jordan fan. Now, don't get me wrong. Jordan's the GOAT. Jordan is just the greatest of all time. And I, no arguments at all. 6-0 in the finals. I know his place in history, where he's at, so no hate in that way, just fan hate for me, meaning, ugh, that's my first NBA Finals experience, is watching my Lakers get their ass kicked by Michael Jordan. Then at number three on my top five NBA playoff runs, I have the 1982-1983 Philadelphia 76ers. This team dominated. They went 12-1 on their playoff run, and this was the Moses Malone, Dr. J 76ers, by the way. If you don't know about this team, look them up, man. I mean, Dr. J, if you ain't seen what Dr. J did, you are missing out on some excellent basketball to watch. But this 76ers team really was one of the most dominating teams of the late 70s, early 80s. And here they were. They were the number one overall seed. Their regular season record was 65-17. And so since this was the 80s, there was only three rounds in the playoffs as opposed to four now. So we had them playing in the Eastern Conference semifinals against the New York Knicks. They swept them. Then they went to the Eastern Conference finals against the Milwaukee Bucks. They got that win 4-1. And then they went to the NBA finals against my Los Angeles Lakers, in which they swept the Lakers on out of the finals in that one. Then number two on my top five NBA playoff runs, the 2016-2017 Golden State Warriors. Definitely one of the most dominating seasons overall, just in general. Their playoff run, they went 16-1. They were the number one overall seed. Their regular season record was 67-15. This was the Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Golden State Warriors. They were dominant. In the first round, went up against the Portland Trail Blazers, swept them on out. Western Conference semifinals, went up against the Utah Jazz, swept them on out. Then Western Conference Finals against the San Antonio Spurs, swept them on out. Then they got all the way to the NBA Finals, and finally the Cleveland Cavaliers were able to get one win against the Warriors, but sorry, the Warriors got the win in that one, 4-1. So just an absolutely dominating year for the Warriors, for sure. Easily could have put them at number one, but guess what, y'all? If you haven't heard the theme, I am a Lakers fan. So number one, of course, are my 2000-2001 Lakers. I mean, obviously, you can argue the Warriors are the better, the 16-17 Warriors are a better team. You could argue that. But I'm a Lakers fan, and this is my list, so I can do whatever the fuck I want to. And I put my 2000-2001 Lakers up at the number one spot. This was the Kobe-dominated era with Shaq, Derek Fisher, all the motherfuckers, man. That was such a great time to be a Lakers fan. This was the second of our three championships in a row. 15-1 on the playoff run in this one. Such a dominating year from Shaq, by the way. This Shaq was playing at such a level that is so insane. Like, when I look back at Shaq's career, I don't think a lot of people talk about Shaq enough anymore in the greatest of all time conversation. But the way Shaq used to dominate the game when he was at his peak is something else, especially because he was terrible at free throws. So when he got to the line, it was like, oh, fuck. But the dude would drop 60 points sometimes in a game, and it's like, wow, he did that by being the worst free thrower in the history of life, basically. But the dominance of Shaq in this era was just nuts. And I remember this team. Oh my God, just watching Kobe and Shaq, some of the greatest moments ever as a Lakers fan. So like I said, they went 15-1 in the playoffs in this season. Now, something crazy happened in this era, because they were the number two overall seed, because the Spurs were the number one overall seed this season. Like I said, this era was dominated in the Western Conference by the Spurs and the Lakers. So, like I said, Spurs number one, Lakers number two. Overall record in the regular season, 56-26 for the Lakers. So they went up against the Portland Trail Blazers in the first round, swept them 3-0. Then they went to the Western Conference semifinals, played against the Sacramento Queens, swept those little bitches on out. Then we faced the San Antonio Spurs in the Western Conference finals. Guess what? Swept those bitches on out too. Bye-bye, motherfuckers. Then they went to the NBA finals. Philadelphia 76ers were able to muster up one win in those NBA finals, but the Lakers completely dominated and got the win 4-1. Got their second championship of the Shaq Kobe era, and just what a time to be a Lakers fan. It was so fantastic. Oh, God. I miss those days. Man, especially the Kobe days. I mean, God. I miss Kobe, miss Tim Duncan, miss Shaq. Miss them all because, man, basketball still ain't the same. But whatever, that's just, it is what it is. But enjoy the weekend of sports, and we will be talking about the NBA Finals on Monday's show. So enjoy the weekend of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Monday.